Holy is the Lord. This week we are to study Revelation chapter 4 that deals with worship in heaven. John the Revelator was given a view of the open heaven, and he saw a door in a building in heaven open. Now as we look at chapters 4 and 5 and subsequent, this is a door into the heavenly sanctuary. And the first voice of Christ which he had heard in chapter 1 sounded like a trumpet, spoke to him a second time. That's why in our analysis, chapter 1 deals with grace, chapters 4 on deals with how he governs. And in the end we see his glory. So this second vision deals with his governance. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Now he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This time he doesn't say it was a Sabbath. He was in the Spirit, and a throne was set in heaven. Now those thrones set we get in Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. The judgment was set and the books are opened. The thrones were set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Daniel sees the Ancient of Days coming and taking his seat. And he that sat on the throne was to look like a jasper and a sardine stone. Now, as I've been able to study this, these jasper and sardine stone are green with mottled red. Green is the color of hope. Read that little story in early writings. Ellen White's being given in vision a green cord that spoke hope to her mind. Hope, that when you look at the judgment scene and you see Jesus on his throne and the Father on his throne, hope is to be engendered in the minds of those who look upon it because of the blood, the sardine stone of Calvary, which is shot through the entire vision. And there was a rainbow. Go back to Genesis and read the significance of the rainbow after the flood, the symbol of the new covenant, of light shining through rain to guarantee that God will protect and never again destroy by a flood. There was a rainbow around the throne, in sight like an emerald, not in the seven colors of a bow, but with the predominance of green, again speaking hope. So here is a vision that John got when he was in the Spirit of a heavenly throne being placed, of one coming and taking his position upon it, surrounding himself with these lights that are to awaken hope and trust and confidence in the minds of the viewers. Now round about the throne were 24 seats. On these seats sat 24 elders. It's interesting to note that the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles add up to 24. And Jesus told his disciples that you will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So these 24 elders appear to be the leaders of God's people in the Old and the New Testaments put together. They have their thrones. You know, some years ago, I had the privilege of working in Korea, and the brethren there took me to several temples or palaces, and the throne room of the king or the deity was set up, and on either side of the pathway leading to it, the processional way into the lawn, were placed round pieces of stone. And I noticed in several temples that I visited, there were 12 each side. There were 24 elders ushering the way to the throne room. And I thought again of Christ's statement in Desire of Ages that the pagan systems were perversions of the true. That which may be known of God, Romans 1, was known to them all. But they forgot and they changed. And so even the idea of the 24 elders is found in other cultures leading up to the throne. These were clothed in white, that is, the righteousness of Christ. They are overcomers. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. They were reigning with Christ, kings with Christ. And the gold is faith that works by love. And out of the throne proceed lightnings, thunderings, and voices. This expression is found in different parts of Scripture to indicate the communication of God. Sinai, second coming of Christ. And from the throne, seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, are shining. Connected with the judgment, which the Father presides and the Son decides, is the luminous spirit. The Father, Son, and Spirit have functioned in concert from the beginning. At creation, on Calvary, Hebrews 9, he offered himself through the eternal Spirit, and God gave, and now at the time of the judgment. The Father is presiding on his throne, the Son is the deciding judge, and the luminous presence of the seven spirits is there. And before the throne was a sea of glass. Now this brazen sea is mentioned by the writer of Kings when Solomon made a great laver. It was called the sea. And the water on it, looking like crystal, reflecting the light of the sun, the sea of glass. I believe this represents the laver, the symbol of purification through Jesus Christ, the washing of the laver of his word. Titus 3, Ephesians 5. Labor is used in both those passages by Paul. And we see the 144,000 at last stand upon the sea of glass. This symbol of their cleansing becomes the platform of their victory. It was clear as crystal and as solid as crystal. Christ could walk on the sea. The selfish, pride-filled Peter could not. The triumphant 144,000 will. And in the midst of the throne and round about it, midst of the throne and round about it, were the four living creatures. These are the cherubim. Compare Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10. Now notice they are in the throne. There were two cherubim on the mercy seat of the matter of the mercy seat. And when Solomon built his most holy place, he carved two more cherubim of olive wood overlaid with gold, and they stood round about the throne. And so this picture of the in the midst of the throne, on him, on the throne, with the Father and the Son, were the two living creatures, and round about the throne were two other living creatures, on the analogy of the most holy place of Solomon's temple. And these beasts were full of eyes, before and behind. The eyes are sight. They had insight. They had hindsight. They had foresight. They could now see. Their eyes had been anointed with the eye salve, and they could see all that God wanted to reveal to them. These four beasts, called living creatures, cherubim, living beings, different translations, were like a lion, an ox, a man, and an eagle. The cherubim, according to Ezekiel 1, had four faces. But as John sees them, the way they are changed, one face from each cherub preponderates. The first was like a lion. The second was like a bull. The third was like a man. And the fourth was like an eagle. Now these four characteristics are characteristics of Christ. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the firstling of a bull. Patient, toiling, suffering, sacrifice. He is the Son of Man. All points touched with our infirmities. And then he is like the flying eagle, soaring into heavenly places with a vision that encompasses eternity. These four beasts had each six wings, Isaiah 6. They can fly, twain they covered their face in reverence, and their feet, and with twain they did fly. They are full of eyes, Ezekiel 1. They can see, and they are full of activity. They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy. This again is Isaiah 6. The Trinity is worshipped. Lord, God, the eternal controller. Pantokrator, the Almighty, which was and is to come. The cherubim, on the throne and about the throne, are representatives of glorified humanity, as we shall see in chapter 5 when we get to it. They have reached the position when they have no more complaints against God, they have no more questions about the providences of God, they can sing ceaselessly, Holy, Holy, Holy. The one who is in control, the one who is ever there. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lived forever, the 24 elders also worship. So these four living beings, in verse 9, are the leaders of worship, to give glory and honor and thanks to him that sits on the throne. Their position is one of insight, which helps them to lead in worship and adoration and appreciation. And when they do this, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. They worship means worth-ship. They ascribe worthiness, greatness, glory, honor, power, insight, control, salvation to the one who sits on the throne. And they cast their crowns before him in submission, realizing that it is from him and him alone that they get this. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is the old song that angels and inhabitants of unfallen worlds and the redeemed can sing. It's a song of adoration to God, the Lord, who is the Creator. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, Revelation 4 gives to us the prelude to the judgment. The door to the heavenly sanctuary is open. Thrones are placed. The Father takes his position as presiding judge. The Son of Man, the Son of God, comes into his position with his Father, as deciding judge. He has with him on the throne two cherubim, about the throne two other cherubim, four living creatures, stamped with the likeness of Christ. The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. They have become like him. And they lead the 24 elders, the governors of the church in the Old and the New Testaments, in worship and adoration to the one who sits on the throne. And the reason for this worship and adoration is that he is the Creator. In other words, when we think of this prelude to judgment, the deity can judge the creature because the deity created the creature. Creation is the basis for judgment. Because God created man, God is the critic of man. God is the judge of man. And so in chapter 4, the entire picture is set up. We see the throne looking like an emerald, green, irradiated with hope, splattered with blood. And the Father and the Son and the Spirit are there. The trophies of victory are there, and the four living beings and the 24 elders. And now the judgment is about to begin because the Creator is there on His throne.